Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. This week's podcast is going to be a confession that I intended to make in last week's podcast. But then Bibi made her flying leap into what I thought was oblivion, and I forgot all about it. And because it's a Christmas-related confession, I probably should wait until next year to make it. But then I would have to live with the trauma associated with this for another year. And besides, this week I saw another write-up of a study in perception that made me think about it. First the study, then the confession. The study was of a man who is blind. He is totally incapable of seeing. He is missing the part of the brain necessary to process visual images. What they did in the experiment was to ask this man to walk down a hallway, and in that hallway they had placed various obstacles. And even though the man is totally blind and was unaware that he had done it, he avoided all of the obstacles. Even more interestingly, when he was shown, and that shown is in quotation marks because the man can't see, but when he was shown photographs of human faces with different expressions on them, he reacted differently to those faces that were threatening than to those that weren't. And the conclusion of the scientists was the same as in similar studies, which is that we have a more primitive brain, a limbic system, that functions independently of our higher brain and is capable of doing things like this. So that was a study. Now the confession. The confession is that every Christmas Eve, for as long as I can remember, I have hoped that at midnight I would hear the animals talking. I don't know when I first heard that legend, and I don't know what it is about every time I pick up this recorder that Ollie and Bibi start to go crazy and chase each other all over the place, but I don't remember when I heard the legend, but I was very, very young, and it stuck in my mind. And when I was very young, I was never able to stay awake that long. I always fell asleep and always woke up on Christmas morning knowing that I had just missed this. And now that I'm older, I fall asleep and sort of feel the same sense of loss the next morning. What's changed, though, is my idea of what hearing animals talk means. When I was a child, I had this idea that I would just listen in on their conversations, and I would hear them talking about their days and maybe their plans for the holidays and, you know, extra food treats they found around, crumbs of, you know, my mother's anise cookies or, God forbid, her fruitcake. As I got older and felt more consciously aroused, then I had visions of them saying things like, "Geez, come on, will you just get a grip? I mean, just, you know, start thinking about us once in a while, will you? You know, let's just, straighten out this whole training business. And what's with this medicine? I mean, how many vaccinations do you have to give me before you get with the program? And about my gonads, I think we need to have a talk about that." Or on those days when I wasn't feeling particularly charitable toward the human species, tirades such as, "You self-righteous clods, where do you get off saying you speak for me and you speak for my rights? You don't even know where I'm coming from. You don't even know what the world is like to me. You're clueless." So knock it off. Go do something else. Go take care of yourself. And I got through that period, thank God. Then I became more deeply involved in animal behavior from a biologist perspective, and also became more and more interested in perception and the way we perceive the world. And now my idea of talking to the animals or communicating with the animals has to do with this fantasy of somehow being able to perceive the world as just my own animals do. I'd settle for that. I know that I'm luckier than some people and that I have lousy vision, so all I have to do is take my glasses off and look at something in the distance, and I have a good idea, or at least some semblance of an idea, how my dogs see things, much more blurry. I also am very much aware of the fact that when things are blurry, you become much, much more sensitive to motion automatically. It just happens. If I go outside and take my glasses off early in the morning before the sun comes up, or at dusk after the sun goes down and everything is in kind of shades of blues and grays, that gives me more of an appreciation for the way my dogs see their world color-wise, blue, grays, and yellows. And it's also interesting, there's this phenomenon amongst those of us who wear glasses that sometimes if your vision is bad and you take your glasses off, you find that you can't hear as well, or that hearing becomes, it just changes. I think that goes back to this ancient brain, that species who aren't visually oriented, visually dependent like humans, automatically rely on their sense of smell and their sense of hearing much more. So I've got that part of it down, and I can exaggerate that a little bit more and figure out how it must be to be a nocturnal cat, moving in limited light to darkness and not really depending on vision that much at all. Smell, boy, that's another one. I can't imagine having the sense of smell that the average animal has. What would it be like? I mean, is this the source of some of those weird dreams I have where I don't know what's going on? Am I, you know, seeing or perceiving this through my limbic system, through some more primitive brain, so that these other senses are enhanced and my higher brain center just can't process that, so that when I wake up, I am not sure what's going on? I don't know. And then there's Bibi. What in the world goes on in that dog's brain? And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. What does she see? What is she responding to when she alarm barks? Is it vibration? Is it scent? Can she hear something beyond the range of normal canine hearing, the way some autistic people can hear beyond the normal range of some humans? I don't know. But someday I'd like to find out. I'd like to experience that. You know, this whole idea of perception, you know, it was like reading that test pilot Chuck Yeager had 20/10 vision. I always thought the 20/20 was as good as it got. Then I discovered, whoa, this is just a made-up standard. And there are some people who can see better than that. And maybe there are some people that can see even better than he did. How cool is that? What is their reality like? We take up the same space, but we don't live in the same world. And that goes back to something that Henry Bastian said way back in 1923 in the outermost house, that animals use senses that we have lost or never gained, that they're hearing voices we shall never hear. It's kind of sad, but also kind of cool. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.